All right. Thank you. Thank you. My goodness.
Thank you so much. They love us. They really love us.
They really love us. Bonus episode, the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. We have the one, the only, Mr. SJ is on the line with us. How are you, SJ, man? A bonus episode of NLD. It's been a while since we've talked. Been a while since you've been able to be on the podcast.
Had a little
some issues with, you know, your laptop, which are, you know, going to get remedied here soon. But other than that, you know, you've had a new job. We're going to get into that. This is going to be kind of a little bit different episode of, again, a bonus episode. So it's not probably going to go right along with how NLD normally is. We're going to talk some things that are happening here right now all over the country, and more specifically, when you have real-life horrors, we have a community of horror fans over there at Night of the Living Dreads on Facebook and all over, all different kinds of groups on Facebook. It seems to be a very close-knit, how you doing, you know, kind of, you know, you make friends in this community. We became really good friends, became friends with, you know, the other patient here in the insane asylum, Mr. Don Skrull, AKA Chiller. And even though we haven't met face to face, you know, there's a lot of love that we have for each other. And, you know, I don't think that's just a personal thing. I think it might be have something to do with the horror community. How does the horror community deal with real life horrors like what everyone is living through right now, that being COVID-19? SJ, I don't even know where to start with this other than it's great to talk to you again, especially about this.
Yeah, and you started it off just right, man. This is a time where, you know, we can't be within 6 feet of each other personally, like in real life, but virtually or through the internet.
My whole life.
Right, exactly. So this is a perfect time to talk about the horror community. And I alluded to it in previous podcasts before. I think that the horror community is one of the most inclusive and together communities that exists out there when it comes to non-news related shit. When we're talking about,
I agree.
Just, yeah, thank you. Thank you. They love me. When it comes to just being together and coming together about something that gives us all kind of a distraction from what's going on in the world at large. And even 2 weeks ago, if you asked me what's something that distracts you from the news of the day, I would tell you, you know, horror movies. I come home from a long day of work. I watch horror movies. I like to talk to my friends that are also interested in horror movies about horror movies or, you know, true crime, serial killers, sure. All the kind of stuff that is kind of on the fringe of society that people don't like to talk about in polite society. You know, we're the freaks and geeks out here that kind of fuel this community that is now coming together even more than ever, I think, in light of the coronavirus pandemic, this worldwide pandemic that's going on and people being quarantining and, you know, sheltering in place. This is a time for all of us to come together and prove my hypothesis true, that horror and true crime fans and fringe people like SJ and Otis B. Dreads, you know, this is a time where we can prove to the world that it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be a weirdo. It's a good thing to be a freak and a geek. And we have a community that's so strong. The horror community, as you mentioned earlier, is so strong. Yeah. And it has no societal boundaries, really. It doesn't matter who you are. You're welcome here in the insane asylum.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the perfect example of that, as we were talking just a few minutes ago, would be what Shudder, which is, I describe as the Netflix of horror, but with better movies, obviously, not like, because Netflix has really horrible fucking horror movies. Any horror fan will tell you that. There's just nothing to watch there. With Shudder, it came to, you know, light with me, a dear friend from years ago, Miss Amy Lynn Russell. She, I've known her for about 10 years, internet friend, again, and, yet she brought it to my attention that Shudder was offering, how many days was it? I can't remember how many days.
It's at least a month of free service.
I'm pretty sure it was at least 30 days of free service. You, you know, just use, I think it was like a promo code Shudder or something of that nature. And if you're going to be...
Again, the great research that goes into this podcast.
we don't stray far from our roots, I can tell you that. But this was actually, to be fair, this was actually kind of a just a you know, spur-of-the-moment thing. We were talking and just decided, you know, man, we should really do this. So, yeah, we're not fucking prepared. But, hey... We don't want to stray far from what you guys are used to. But anyway, yeah, they Shudder's giving 30 days, at least, maybe more, 30 days of free Shudder. And I've been a paid subscriber for quite some time now. And I really dig Shudder. A lot of movies you're not going to find anywhere else. And it's a really good service. So, but that's just an example of how even a streaming service that specializes in horror and horror fans like all of us here in the Insane Asylum and all of our you know, listeners and friends over there, all the patients in the Insane Asylum at Night Living Dreads on Facebook, all of those, you all love horror. And if you are unfortunately in a shelter in place type deal where you cannot, you know, leave the house except you know, you're stuck there because you can't work, but you can maybe go to the grocery store or whatnot. Hey, what better way to spend that time than with some horror movies? And I think you kind of alluded to really my next question I was going to pose for you. But how do you feel in real life horror? What I think, what a lot of us are going through now with this coronavirus pandemic, what do you think, you know, how do you think horror fans deal with real life horror? How are you dealing with it, and what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, I just started a new job. My 9-to-5 is going to nursing homes. And so the horror. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. There couldn't be a more appropriate sound effect for that. But so the horror is real. It's scary out here. It's scary for everybody. Not just horror fans, but, you know, anybody out there that's affected by this. And let's be honest, we're all affected by this.
Yeah.
It's a real life quarantine type horror movie. And I think that, I don't know, it's kind of cathartic to, if you are quarantined and having to stay at home and shelter in place. There's a great quote from Stephen King, and I'm paraphrasing here, but horror is, you know, kind of a tryout, not a tryout, but a rehearsal for death. So
wow.
What all this fear that is spreading around, and the fear is spreading faster than the virus itself, I feel like, and the panic is spreading faster than the virus itself. It's we can look to fiction to kind of allay some fears, or at least say that we were ready for this before it actually happened. What's happening now is people are scared of death. And, you know, we're all scared of dying. Everybody's afraid of dying. We don't know what happens after we die.
Sure.
But this is, you know, what's happening now is making it real for everybody. And for people that are horror fans like me and you and everybody else that subscribes to the kind of shit that we're into, it's almost like
we've kind of almost desensitized ourselves.
Yeah, we're almost, yeah, exactly. We've almost watched enough of it and read enough of it to kind of mentally prepare for what we're seeing happen right now. The question is, you know, is it enough? Are we all really prepared to deal for a real life horror?
No, I'm
and
not.
That's kind of what we're dealing with. And yeah, I could answer that question the same way. I'm not either.
And I have to say, you know, mostly, you know, mentally, and I'm, you know, on the, mentally, are we, you know, prepared? And, you know, we bring, you know, talking a lot about, you know, horror fans and, you know, how I get a lot of, you know, updates, and I'm hearing a lot of, you know, things from different members over there at the NLD group. And, you know, there is that level of fear out there, and there's going to be, no matter how tough of a guy you are, or how much, you know, how many cans of fucking beans and cases of water you have. You're toilet paper. Yeah, you toilet paper hoarders. You know what? I wish I had my go fuck yourself button right now, because I'd play that right now, because that is absolutely ridiculous. Now, in typical NLD style, we're going to make jokes, have some of the most horrible fucking things that we talk about. We do it with true crime, we do it with serial killers, and we're going to probably do it here with the COVID thing. Because basically, you know, how are you going to stop it other than sheltering, you know, in place? But anyway, this whole toilet paper thing has really... it's really bothered me.
I'm tired of the memes about toilet paper. I'm tired of the jokes. I'm kind of tired about the joking around about all of this coronavirus. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm kind of tired of all of it. Because let's be honest here. If we're talking about real life horror for a second and taking a break from, you know, Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees and Chucky and, you know, all the horror movies and all the serial, and Jeffrey Dahmer and, you know, all the serial killers and real life, quote, real life horrors. Now we're dealing with one that's right in our face and is affecting everybody.
Globally.
Let's take a step back and really think about it for a second. Okay. Back in 1945, there were two atomic bombs dropped on two cities.
Nagasaki,
that created the most horrific thing you could ever imagine. Hell on earth. Atomic bombs being dropped. We're not dealing with that yet. We survived the Cold War where no new nukes were dropped. And we're scared now about this invisible virus that may or may not kill us all. May or may not disrupt the economy and create real horror for all of us. I want your perspective on that, Otis.
Okay.
In terms of history, like I just said,
okay,
we've survived two world wars, and the end of the second one, we dropped the most powerful at the time weapon on an enemy, and we killed hundreds of thousands of people. That's real horror. And now we're sitting here and watching the numbers grow. And globally, the numbers are not as big as even those two bombs back in 1945. So what's your perspective? What's the real, is this real horror or is this all hype? Is it, what's your perspective?
All right. First of all, I have to say from a historical point of view, see, I'm trying to be serious and it's really hard.
Oh, don't be serious.
Okay. I seen a meme on Facebook that I think sums this up. Okay. I think it really does sum it up. And it goes something like this. Half of you have snorted cocaine off the back of a toilet seat. And yet you're scared of a little virus.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, no.
You had to Facebook it up.
You had to Facebook it up. I don't know. There have been some funny memes out there. But, okay, well, let me put it to you this way. And yes, everybody brings up the 1918 Spanish flu. Of course, you have, you know, the Black Plague. There are many historical points of reference that we can go to when it comes to a national emergency
or real life horror,
as we'll call it now. We won't call it a pandemic. We'll call it a real life, you know, the Corona real life horror.
Because everybody's scared, right? I mean, what's the definition of horror?
Yes.
Everybody is scared.
Yes.
Scared to die. Scared that their mom might die. Scared that they might die themselves.
Yes. You know, 2020 is honestly because of, you know, what we are dealing with is the year where you cough and people look at you weird.
Right.
You know, I mean, it is very, very crazy. And speaking of crazy, you know, you unfortunately weren't able to take and join us, but just got done, you know, doing a NLD Goes to the Movies. And we, you know, the three movies kind of had a common thread. And that had to do with quarantines. It had to do with viruses and sicknesses that, you know, of course, you know. The Crazies was one of those movies. This was a movie that I think really painted a picture of a real worst case scenario in a global or even within a certain country type outbreak of a virus. I think it painted a really, really good picture of this, very scary picture. And what you got from that, going back to this fear thing, what you got from watching that movie was the actual fear that was being portrayed, because you have citizens, you know, that are, you know, quarantined, taken into camps. They are, you know, they have to go through this little checkpoint. This is all, you know, military running this. They have to go through these little checkpoints. They have to, you know, they get the little thermometer across the head. If you have a temperature, boom, you're taken away by these fuckers in, you know, biohazard suit. And, yeah, and that's actually certain times. That's what's happening right now on a much lower scale than what's been.
Yeah, it's a lower scale, but yeah. It's definitely what's happening right now.
And I'm going to tell you what, it's the same thing. It's really portrayed very accurately in The Crazies. But, you know, tell us a little bit more about your new job, because you got to walk around dressed up like Dr. Fucking Giggles.
Right. I kind of do.
I saw a picture. Yeah, you showed me your little get up there. But because, you know, you're delivering medical equipment and medicines and things like
just
that.
Just medicine, not medical
medicine. Okay, just medicines.
Medicine and narcotics, and there's the the difference there. So you have regular prescription medication like Lipitor or something that you might take for your blood pressure. And then you have narcotics that are kind of separate from that, that are controlled substances. So basically what I am right now with this new job is a glorified drug dealer. I mean, I'm a
target. Drug runner. You're a fucking target.
Right. Yeah. So this whole thing is, this whole new job is, it's, speaking of horror, it's kind of a bummer. It really is. But for me to come into this job at the time that I did and what's going on in the world, it is kind of a horrific thing. Every time I walk into a, pull up to one of these nursing homes, and nursing homes are the places that I'm delivering these drugs to. You have to mask up, glove up. A lot of times you have to put on a nut up. And that's not why I'm going and visiting these elderly women, but you know, some of them are kind of hot. That's just my fetish, I guess.
Man.
It's weird, man. It's weird to walk into these places and go through these protocols. It feels like living out one of those quarantine, outbreak kind of movies.
Right, right.
And I'm, I don't know. It's, when you get back into your car after dropping the medication, you know, after making these stops, you're wondering, at least if you're SJ, when you get back into your car and you start driving to the next location, you're wondering if you're carrying an invisible monster with you to the next one. So it is kind of horrific. It is kind of like it's fiction writing itself, man.
You can't kill the boogeyman.
Right.
I don't know where I was going with that one, but okay.
Jesus can't kill the Reaper.
Oh, Jesus. You were down in Georgia. What is the state of things, you know, down there, as far as I'm sure pretty much everything is, you know, what, closed? You're obviously still working, delivering medications and things that are considered essential, which I get. Yeah. How's everything else? I mean, grocery stores, Bear, just give us an update on that down there, because this is an ongoing story, man. I think this is something that NLD should really, pay attention to and, give our, horror loving freaks over there at NLD and here in the Insane Asylum, the benefit to, hear some of the latest, if they don't already know it. But what's going on? What's going on
down here in Georgia? I'll call it the greater metro area of Atlanta. It's panic mode. Everything's shut down, just like the rest of the country and I guess the rest of the world right now. But right around here, around Atlanta, it's kind of touch and go. It's you get temperature scanned and you have to wear a mask and gloves in a lot of places, at least my job right now. Now, when we're talking about going to Walmart or the grocery stores or something like that, there has been a run on the stuff that we've all been hearing about, like toilet paper, hand sanitizer. Of course, that kind of bottled water, that kind of stuff is in short supply. And a lot of these, even the smaller grocery chains, like we have a grocery chain down here called Food Depot. I don't know if you have them up there in Ohio, but down here we have, you have Kroger, you have Publix, and then you have Food Depot. Food Depot is kind of the bargain grocery store. It's not even talking about like Aldi or anything like that.
Right. Food Depot sounds like Food Depot. I'm looking, I'm picturing Home Depot with milk.
No, picture Home Depot without the corporate backing. And that's what you're talking about with Food Depot. It's like a really bargain bin grocery store. But even the bargain bin grocery stores are like running out of milk and water and, you know, the essentials. So it ebbs and flows here. So
right,
it depends on the supplies that they have on hand. And I think the trucking industry in the country is still pretty strong. I don't think a lot of truckers are, you know, sheltering at home. So all the places down here in the South in Georgia are being restocked and resupplied. So even if you run out on Monday, you know, night, on Tuesday morning, you're probably going to find shelves stocked again with the essential things that you need. So it's not like totally apocalyptic down here, but there is a run on certain essential things that people are hoarding right now and panic buying. It's probably the same down here as it is up there where you are and everywhere else. How is it up there in Ohio?
Well, before we get to this shithole I live in, 507 confirmed cases in Georgia and 14 deaths. Let's take a listen to this little clip here.
Coronavirus cases here in Georgia into our newsroom just in the last 10 minutes. Officials say 507 people have been infected with the virus. The number of deaths did not change from Friday night's numbers, 14 people. The new information from the health department shows Fulton County with the highest number of cases at 92. Bartow and Cobb are second and third.
Okay. So I would like to give some perspective on that, because Fulton County, that news reporter just mentioned, that's where I grew up. That's where I was born and raised, in Fulton County, Georgia. And just yesterday, there were 66 cases in Fulton County. And I think she just said it was something like 90-something cases.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a one-third rise in cases in Fulton County alone.
And that report, that article was dated yesterday, the 21st.
Yes. So we're going back to horror and real life horror. This thing is growing exponentially. Like, we're talking about 2-3 times the cases every single day. And I'm not saying anything new. All you have to do to validate that fact is to tune into CNN, Fox News, Reuters, you know, any news outlet that you can access. You're going to see that these cases are growing. And it seems like the fear is what is being propagated in the news media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want you to be afraid. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. That's what makes this a very, because people that are afraid, okay, will look for a protector. That protector, then, and so they will welcome you. And, you know, I don't want to really.
It's an election cycle. Go ahead and say it.
No, well, not only that, I was going a little worse than that, I think, but people would welcome troops on the streets in the midst of fear of dying, because they're looking for a protector. They will willingly go to, you know, maybe if it got that bad, they would go to these camps and quarantine places like were depicted in the movie The Crazies. So fear is a very, very strong weapon. Is it justified, I think, is the, you know, big question. Is this thing as bad as they're saying, or is it fear mongering? If it's as bad as they're saying, how, you know, did this all come about? It wasn't from Chinese people eating fucking bats. Our good friend Bobby, he told me that he heard. They found
the wet markets.
amino acids, a certain amino acid in this coronavirus, this COVID-19, that is not found on any living species. It's not found in bats. It's not found in humans. It's not found in any other animals. So this is, you know, to me, bottom line, man-made. This is a synthetic virus.
You're taking that off. You're taking that off of Bobby's word, though. You haven't seen empirical evidence. He's not a scientist. Mm-hmm. I'm not a scientist. Sure. None of us are qualified to say or say that the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus that we're dealing with, came from any. We don't know where this thing came from.
Exactly.
We're just being fed information.
And like we did with one of our last podcasts about the Delphi murders, that being a lot of speculation because nobody knows a whole lot.
Right, that's the danger.
Exactly.
And I know that you and I and everybody that's listening to this podcast right now knows more than ever. And I hate that thing, more than ever, but it kind of comes to bear here. More than ever, you're hearing a lot of stuff from people that are not qualified to give you information.
Right.
So, you know, when something like this happens, it does really remind me a lot of 9/11, like post 9/11, right after 9/11 happened. Everybody had something to say.
Sure.
But who among those people that were telling you things right after 9/11 got it right? Not too many. Not too many of those people that were talking to you after 9/11 happened, got it right. And, you know, we're dealing with the same thing now.
Where's Dom?
And that
when
just
we need
feeds. Right. And we're, Dom, you reptile. Where are you? But yeah, it's like misinformation feeds into fear and creates more of a horrific thing. And so when you wake up in the morning, you wake up from your sleep and you re-enter a world where things are just chaotic and the world is full of fear when you wake up now. And you kind of have to stop and wonder, where does all this horror come from? Is it real? Is all of it real?
I've been living my whole life like this.
Well, now we have something to pin it on. It's called coronavirus.
I'm ready.
Okay. Is the fear really justified, or is this a distraction to something else that's going on in the world that, let's just say, the powers that be, don't want us to focus on? Or is this really a crisis that could have far-reaching implications?
All right, obviously. Let me play devil's advocate here, because, I mean, do you really think they would shut fucking states down, go through all of the, you know, the putting up the false maps, shutting states down, okay, destroying the economy, you know, all for what, an election? When I think it was probably pretty, you know, cut and dry that Trump was pretty going to beat Senile Joe and any of these others that are running. I mean, most people that don't even like Trump are like, yeah, this guy's going to get another 4 years. So, I mean, what would be the motivation behind, you know, doing that and you know, it not be real and invoking all this panic?
A disruption in the American political system.
To this extent? But to take it to this extent?
I think so. I mean,
wow.
I don't know.
They must
have
be hiding something
to base
big.
That on.
Yeah, I know, right. It's all speculation, just like I mentioned with the Delphi murders. You mentioned what was going on here in Ohio, and I just came across this article. Cuyahoga County, which I don't think is anywhere near me, quote-unquote disease detectives, CWRU medical students, track coronavirus in one of Ohio's hot spots.
Yeah, you're going to continue to see stuff like that.
Now there was, we do have one, check this out. We do have one confirmed death due to coronavirus.
What, a 78-year-old woman or something?
No, 91-year-old man.
Okay, I was close.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. It says marking the virus's third casualty in the state. Oh, it just... It was the county's. It was the county's first death. My bad. Three in the state. This is 11.7 million, I think, in this that live in the state of Ohio. We're like the third largest, like popular, or like fifth or sixth or something. We're up there. I don't know.
So they're, you know, the panic is real, right? In Ohio right now, everybody's
Well, I think the panic really comes the panic comes from not so much when you look at the numbers. You have three deaths with, like, you know, 11, you know, million people or whatever living in your state.
The real panic comes from I could be the next death.
Sure.
And that's like saying I could be the next lottery winner. I could go buy a scratcher and, you know, win $10,000 tomorrow. It's not going to happen.
Right.
That's the nature of fear to me. It's trying to spread it as fast and as hard as they can. And yes, I do think it's a political thing. I do think that one of these pandemics or epidemics or outbreaks happens pretty much once every election cycle to kind of distract from what's really going on. I don't know what the difference is with this one, because it does seem like that they're pumping more resources into this coronavirus outbreak. And I don't want to be one of those outliers that says, well, I don't know anybody that's sick from it. And my friends don't know anybody that's sick from it. And my friends of my friends don't know anybody that's sick with coronavirus. But
so it's
kind of
fake,
like it.
Right.
So.
There's one big thing that, bothers me. I think we mentioned, as far as Ohio goes, I mentioned to you a little bit ago, last Friday, not yesterday as we're recording this, the last Friday, about a week ago, there were 35 confirmed cases. And that Monday, it went up to, I think, 61 or 67 over the weekend, just about doubled, if not more than doubled.
In this country, not Italy or any other country.
Right, right. Yesterday, I think the number was about 234.
Okay.
So about 180 some cases, 160 or 70
Meanwhile,
to 80 cases in a week.
Where are these testing kits coming from? Because we've all heard of the lack of testing kits. I call into question the validity of these confirmed cases.
Interesting. Okay. 6 hours ago, let's see, we have three Ohio coronavirus deaths reported and 247 confirmed cases out of 11 million people. Let's really look at the numbers here. If you look at the numbers, 247 out of, 11 million. Okay. Doesn't seem that bad. But again, the fear comes from, like you said, could I be next?
Right. That's fear. That is where the fear comes into it.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to pump out in the media, the 24/7 news cycle. That's where the fear is. They're trying to make this into a pandemic of fear, not a pandemic of virus, a pandemic of fear. Because, nobody you know has it. And they try to use that against you because, that's backwards thinking if you look at it that way. nobody I know has the virus. Nobody that I know and their friends and their friends and their cousins and aunts and uncles, nobody has the virus. You know, they try to play that up. Well, it doesn't matter that nobody that you know has the virus. It's out there and it's going to come get you if you don't pay attention. And we've been in a trade war with China since the Trump administration began. I don't want to get too political on this little episode, side episode here of NLDU, but come on now. Look at our relationship with China. It's not good. It's not a good relationship we have.
We have
a lot of fake news and stuff that's supposed to be fake news that is real news. And, oh, my goodness.
The real life boogeyman. And you can't kill the boogeyman. Where's my Halloween theme sound pad when I need it?
Jesus. You get it right, Otis.
I know it. So what do you think that, what have you seen getting back to the horror community? You know, because I think it was important that those that listen to the podcast, you know, and listen to it on a regular basis, well, believe it or not, I think they come to like us a little bit, SJ.
I hope so.
I really do. I think they have. And, you know, in times of, you know, mass fear, mass panic, however you believe.
Anxiety,
you know, a lot of stress going on with people who are, you know, shut in. You know, it's outside of why you or how you think it got to that way or the theories behind it. Have you seen, other than Shudder, any other, you know, horror communities, maybe online? I know you've been busy at work, so you may not have a whole lot of time to check that, and your laptop's been down. But, I mean, what could be done then? I'll ask you that. What could be done with the social media and all the groups that are out there that really have a lot of good, you know, horror fans and people, a lot that we've, you know, talked to? What could they do?
Well, I can't really speak on a lot of the social media groups that are related to horror out there because, like you said, I've been super busy at work, but...
What could be done in that arena? Let's say you got a group like NLD. What could NLD over there on Facebook, what could we do? What could we do to, you know, help in, you know, whatever? I mean, what can we do as a online community? Because, you know, hell, most of my really good friends, other than maybe like two in person, you know, most of my friends are online. I mean, it is kind of a tough time when you hear about your friends, you know, that you've known for years and maybe it's just online. You know, I mean, it's a tough time.
I think the only thing we can do to reach out to each other is to be there for each other. I mean, let's look at what's really going on. The internet's been around since the early 90s. The internet has been around, and it's turned into a thing that's both good and bad, the internet. Mm-hmm. But we have to embrace the good side of the internet, which doesn't spread fear that's, you know, unworthy of spreading. Instead, we need to come together, and if you can send somebody a message of, you know, hope and support, or, you know, if you know somebody in your social network online who is really struggling through this time, be it through, you know, losing hours at work or not being able to buy the essential supplies that they need, you know, maybe reach out and Cash App that person $5 for a roll of toilet paper or whatever they need. Let's just support each other right now. Yes.
I agree.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
You. Let's all just support each other, even if you can't support your brother or sister financially. You can be there emotionally. And in times like this, when things are, there are so many unanswered questions and misinformation is spreading like, you know, misinformation is a fucking pandemic right now.
Yeah.
Let's get together and just watch some horror movies, play some video games, do whatever you do to shelter in place. If you have the ability to not go out and, you know, if you have the ability to distance yourself socially from everybody, then do that. And if you don't, if you have to go to work like I do every day and like you do every day,
yeah,
then just be there for each other. And these watch parties that happen on Facebook, those are great.
Those are great. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's really going to play a lot in the horror community. I was going to bring that up. These watch parties that I wasn't really much into at first. And then I started, you know, getting involved and talking and meeting new people that love the same shit I love. I knew they did because they were in the group, but I'd never talked to them. And it was a really cool thing. It was like sitting down with about 10 to 20 or however many, you know, friends, and watching a horror movie and just chatting back and forth together.
Yes. I love that. I don't have the time to do it right now, give it, you know, this new job I have, but I love that kind of a format. And like you were saying, I wasn't very aware of the watch party thing, but it kind of reminds me of a Mystery Science Theater kind of shit. You're watching a movie together and you're riffing and making jokes about, you know, the corny stuff that happens during the movie. It's just a good way to come together as a horror community. And, you know, if we're all, you know, quarantined, it's a good place, a good way for horror fans to express our togetherness, because as you know, Otis, I'm a big proponent of and believer in the fact that the horror community is one of the most inclusive and together communities out there. I mean, we're living in 2020, so Dragon Con and cosplay, you know, video game culture is a huge thing, but the horror community is, I feel like it's almost stronger than this virus that we're going through, this pandemic. Like, the togetherness of the horror community is a beautiful thing. And we have to kind of rely on each other, and we have to stay together through this thing, because we're going to get through it. It's one way or another. We're going to get through it.
And I know we've been playing a lot on, you know, the horror community, because, you know, of course, you know, we do a horror true crime podcast, but I, you know, and then that's the kind of people we deal with, you know, mainly on a regular basis is the horror community. And, but I think what it really comes down to is, you know, just, you know, it's time to be kind of a, you know, compassionate person. We're all going through some bad shit. You know, help your neighbor out wherever you may be. It may not be as bad where you are as it is compared to myself or SJ. It may be worse. You may not be able to do a whole lot, but hey, maybe your neighbor needs a bag of, you know, potatoes, and you happen to have, you know, three, give them one.
Right.
It's really
the proverbial bag of sugar.
I mean, if you have something to offer, which I think was the point you were getting to, if you have something to offer, and, you know, whether it's in your own community or whether it's, you know, online, and you can, you know, take and help somebody out who, you know, is having a hard time. And maybe send them, like you said, you know, $5 or, you know, $10, whatever you can do.
Let's be honest here. Love each other.
Sure.
Love yourselves. Love your next door neighbor, even if you have some beef. Now's the time to come together, regardless of whether you're a horror fan, a true crime fan. This is a global thing. This is nations across the globe that are dealing with the same thing at the same time. So we're not as different as we think we are.
And most of all, love your wiener.
Yes.
Love your wiener
some attention.
Yes.
That little bastard is missing out on some love right now. I guarantee it. Across the globe.
Across the globe. It's spreading.
But
we may be sheltered in with our significant others, so maybe that'll fucking change.
I saw something earlier that, you know, 9 months from now it's gonna be the new boomer movement. We're gonna have so many fucking babies coming out of this thing. Corona babies.
Oh my god. Oh man.
Pandemic puppies.
Like four-headed cats. I know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Anyway, I don't know. But I think you really summed it up to bring this little bonus episode, kind of a serious side that, you know, we've showed here because
we can be serious.
We
can be serious sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it's not normal.
Nothing about it's normal.
I mean, it's really odd. I feel dirty.
We'll take a decontamination shower after this episode. I'll throw some de-lousing powder on you if it makes you feel better.
And, you know, a final note. This is my final thought, like fucking Jerry Springer. I have seen in passing over the interwebs, it was also brought to my attention by Mrs. Dreads that, yes, there's a new challenge. Have you heard of this?
Enlighten me.
It's called the Corona Challenge. People are licking toilet seats. Yeah, I see.
All right, that's it. I'm out. I'm out.
Licking fucking toilet seats.
All right.
So,
All right,
you know, my final thought is, in the midst of something like this, if you are a shithead millennial, and I know there may be some decent millennials out there, a couple of my kids are millennials, and I think they are. I don't even understand what that means. I just know that...
Oh, God, you're entering very dangerous territory here, Otis.
I don't give a shit. Don't be stupid. Don't go around licking fucking toilet seats. You should have your head slammed in the toilet seat for doing some dumb shit. That is just, that ain't a coronavirus challenge. What the fuck? Don't.
So what you're saying is don't lick toilet seats, but do eat Tide Pods.
No, well, these are the same people that recovered from the Tide Pods that just shit their last Tide Pod out or going around licking fucking toilet seats. Don't do that, okay? These are dangerous times, and guess what? You may end up fucking sick, or you get gangrene on your tongue because you licked a fucking toilet seat.
If you licker, you might get gangrene of the tongue.
Gangrene of the God. You know, you're licking
gangrene of the tongue.
Yeah, you're licking fucking toilet seats of maybe, you know, I mean, an hour before that, some fat fucking trucker sat down and freckled the bowl and now you're licking that motherfucker, but won't suck a dick. Just saying.
Jeez, this has turned into a horror podcast.
It has. The horror of it all. There you go. The very unorthodox podcast, to say the least. But, you know, it's been a while since we have talked, SJ. And, you know, in the midst of everything going on, what you have to deal with, you know, with work, me being in, you know, home remodeling, I don't know how long that's going to last. I think for everybody, it's just a day-by-day kind of thing. We wait till our, you know, governor comes on and gives a press conference so we know what our next step is going to be and how we have to fucking react. So with that being said, SJ, you stay safe. I want all of you dreadheads out there to stay safe. And I know once SJ gets up and going with his laptop, you can contact and message either one of us, man. We'll sit down, we'll fucking talk, and whatever. What'd you want to end with, brother?
I want to end with this. This is a public announcement to everybody that can hear my voice right now.
That's only me right now.
I know it's you right now, but after this goes out, it'll be more.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Be afraid, but don't be afraid of this, because this, meaning the coronavirus pandemic, is only one thing in your life that could kill you. Yes, coronavirus could kill you. That's horrific. It's a scary thing to think about. It could kill your grandma. It could kill your mom, your dad, your children. It could kill you. But you know what? So could a cancer diagnosis, or being hit by a Mack truck on your way to work tomorrow morning, or whenever you get out of the quarantine and go to work. Fear of death is what we're dealing with right now. And that's something that never stops. You're born and you die. And in between that time, there's always a constant threat of death. So this is nothing new. Don't be afraid. Watch your horror movies. Play your video games. Have a good time. Smoke some fucking weed for me. Smoke a bowl. Smoke a joint. Smoke a blunt. Get it in. Have a good time. Live your life to the fullest. Don't be afraid. We'll get through this. NLD will continue, and we'll be back with a new episode next time. And you can rely on that.
That was very, very well said. And what a
that's all I have to say.
What a great way to end the podcast. Thank you, SJ, for hopping on, talking about this.
Love you guys.
We will be back.
Yes, we will.
Full swing. Stay safe.
No one knows. We're going to die.